Well, listen, thank you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a couple of comments and then take any question you have, any questions you might have. So that's what we're doing. Thank you very much for coming here. I really do appreciate it. Well, the United States Supreme Court has finally spoken and made their decision, and we are reading and reviewing this 103-page opinion by the United States Supreme Court, and we'll continue to, you know, read it, I'm sure, and review it, as I'm certain you may want to as well. And as I've said in a statement, and as I've said for some time, that I will honor and respect the decision by the highest court in the land, by the United States Supreme Court, and more fundamentally, respect and honor the rights of every person and every citizen in Michigan or across the United States of America who's impacted by this decision. And so this is not just a piece of paper. This is really about, you know, families and people. And that's part of my job as well. And, you know, part of my job was to defend the pension clause of cops and firefighters in the city of Detroit. Part of my job was to make sure I put a stop sign in front of the legislature trying to raid the Natural Resource Trust Fund that's embedded in our Constitution. I also defended the admissions clause that required equal treatment and admission to outstanding colleges and universities in Michigan, and I defended this case as well. And this case, the decision just issued, this case involves good people, well-intentioned people on each side of this issue, and with maybe different philosophies, and sometimes with great passion and emotion. And I understand that, and I'm certain that Ms. DeBoer and Ms. Rouse have a certain joy and relief that they're experiencing today. And as I've said for some time, the most important thing that we as a society need in Michigan or across this country is parents or a parent, whether they're gay, straight, bi. And the point is, we need to have loving parents or a loving parent for children. And that's, I think, so very, very important. And you know, this case is significant. This case has been decided. And as I've said for some time, the sooner the United States Supreme Court made a ruling on this case, the better off everyone would be. Now the court has spoken, and we will honor and respect the opinion. But as I said, most fundamentally and most importantly, people and the lives of those who are impacted by this, and we will honor and respect that. So. That's my opening comments. Pretty good for me to shorten it as much as I could. But happy to take any questions that you all might have.
General,
sir, don't worry. I'll get everybody. I'm in no rush here today. Okay.
You Go argued this case as a state's rights issues in some regard.
No, we argued this case as it was a question of who decides.
Sure.
The voters across states, across the United States of America, or the justices of the Supreme Court. So that was the tack we took.
Sure.
I'm not argumentative today, but I want to make sure that this was not about...
It's an important
decision. Yeah, it was about voters and who decides. That's really what the case was about.
Sure. So are you disappointed that the court did decide then over, instead of letting voters decide here in Michigan?
Well, you know, I'm one of those that my job is to defend the Constitution. I took an oath in 2011 to defend the Constitution and enforce the law. I took the same oath in 2015, and I'll continue to abide and fulfill that oath, you know, through my term as Attorney General. And I will continue to defend this, the law of the land, now, given the Supreme Court's decision and other laws on the books and other constitutional provisions. So I think everyone wanted to have this decision made. Now it's made, and let's go forward.
General, four justices agreed with your position. What do you think was the big problem with your argument? Did you ignore the provisions in the 14th Amendment, as Justice Kennedy sort of outline?
Well, you know, this is the system of called democracy. I understand checks and balances, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, the executive branch. And this is a 5-4 decision, and the fact is that this is the process, and it's sometimes tedious. Sometimes it's, you know, clunky. But you know, I understand it, and now I think citizens across this country have heard and will respect the decision by the United States Supreme Court. And it was 5-4, but you know, it's not a number issue. This is what the Supreme Court has ruled on, and now it's the law of the land.
What kind of guidance can you provide county clerks across the state and so forth? Are there any outstanding issues on the enforceability of this, or anything that needs to be that you need to get out there?
Yeah, I can't be more clear than this is the final word. The United States Supreme Court has spoken, and an opinion that is, I think, quite clear that same-sex marriage is legal across the United States of America, and we're one of the 50 states. And I don't think there's any other additions that you can make to this. I think it's quite clear, and so we go forward.
So marriages can start right away, no problem.
I mean, it's with the court has made the final word. There's nothing to be added or subtracted, divided, multiplied. You can't parse it. You don't need to slice it. They're very clear on this, and so now the same-sex marriage is legal in the state of Michigan and across the country.
Just on that point, do you think there could be any constitutional ways to limit the effect of the decision, whether it be, and these are just examples, a law saying that only clergy could marry someone, or a law saying that a local clerk could opt out if they had a moral problem with it? I mean, do you think there's...
Hey, this the case just came down. From my standpoint, it's very clear that this is the final word, and I don't anticipate challenges or anything like that. This is about a decision by the United States Supreme Court, and they've ruled, and now we're going to honor and respect. But it's not just, as I say, it's not about a piece of paper. This is about families, people, real people.
The former Attorney General of Virginia was out in the public, in the media today, saying that the opinion could be used against clergy and others who refuse to perform same-sex marriages across the state, that this could be a big issue for religious freedom. Just curious, do you see that in the...
I'm not going to get into that, and I haven't seen what the person said. I'm just I'm not going to... kind of hypothetical,
But you haven't seen that in the opinion?
I've not seen that opinion.
Are you troubled at all with a court telling voters who changed the Constitution that they were wrong?
Well, this is our system of democracy, and there'll be lots of court opinions before. There'll be other decisions by the Supreme Court on other topics in the future, and this is our system. It's not perfect, but it's the best thing going. And so, from my standpoint, you go through the process, and the court has ruled, and then you go forward.
Kind of on that point, would you support a ballot initiative to remove that language from the Constitution now that the Supreme Court has decreed?
Oh, I'm not. The court has made its the court has ruled. Same-sex marriage is legal. There's nothing to be debated, discussed, or initiative, in my opinion.
Governor Walker in Wisconsin has called for a constitutional amendment, U.S. constitutional amendment, to define marriages between one man and one woman. Would you personally support such an amendment?
I am going to respect, honor, defend this the decision by the United States Supreme Court. I'm not running for president, John. Not today. Just a little humor, okay? Just a little humor.
Are there other things?
Sound like that was just a joke.
What about governor?
Don't get nervous here, Selleck. Okay.
Are there other things the state has to do, law changes or that you're aware of?
This is something for the governor and the legislature to work on. And there's a law review commission out there that I think my buddy McClellan is working on. And I think there's plenty of things for the legislature and the governor to review in terms of what might need to be, in sync. That may occur, but that's a job for the legislature.
Attorney General, you mentioned April DeBoer and Jane Rouse, the plaintiffs in this case, and you said they might be happy or relieved. You were in a position where your office did argue against them in court. What would you say to them now that the decision has come down?
Well, I'm not going to get into, hypothetical comments or statements, but, I understand this issue, and there were, you know, people on each side of this issue with, you know, passionate views, strongly held views, personal views, emotional opinions on this. And, you know, I respect that. I also had a job to do about defending the provision of the marriage clause in the Michigan Constitution. And it's an attorney general can't pick and choose which provision to defend or to choose to ignore a provision. That's not how it works. I mean, if you're all are smart here, and if you take that to its nth degree, that would be one person deciding which law is good and which law is bad. I call that a dictatorship or anarchy. And my oath was to defend the Constitution and enforce the laws, and that's what I did. And I think that, you know, most people who know me, and I know there's a lot of politics out there, and, you know, there'll be brickbats thrown, this, that, and the other. I get that. That's okay. But those who know me understand my job, and my job was to defend the Constitution. And, you know, I don't sit around and pass judgment on people. You know, I don't say, you know, is that person, you know, gay or straight or bi or, you know, what is that person's sex life like? I mean, I don't do that. I mean, I think that'd be really weird. And I don't pass judgment on people that way. And my, you know, what I do is do my job. And I think those who care to know me and understand my job and maybe want to be and dismiss some of the, you know, the political pandering or some of the folks who are maybe just desperate for attention. you brush that aside. I think most people understand I'm just doing my job.
I've got a question about,
yes, sir.
About the UIA.
I hope I have an answer.
All right. It's a question about the UIA. Do you think that the penalty and interest collection should be halted until the problems are sorted out?
The UIA.
Unemployment Insurance Agency.
Concerning this issue of marriage?
No. Concerning...
Yeah, I'm doing marriage. I'm doing marriage today. We'll do UIA later. Okay.
You'll do one-on-one.
Andrea and I'll work with you on that. Okay. But right now we're just doing marriage. Okay. Thank you.
You said you'd take answer to any questions.
Well, there's an asterisk said about marriage.
Okay.
Is today's decision a setback for states' rights? Would you say?
You know, this case was about who decides. You know, voters or the across states in America, or nine justices, and was there a constitutional right and all that? And so that's what the system was. That's what this decision was about. And it was about who decides, the courts or voters, and you know, it was, you know, whether it doesn't matter whether it's 5-4 or what have you. The Supreme Court made its decision, and this is about our democratic process. That's really what this case was about.
Is there anything in the analysis that's been done so far, even though you honor and respect the decision, that raises some concerns that the state may have to make some changes and that are beyond what they had anticipated?
Well, I think that's something that, I mean, we'll continue to read and review this case. You know, it's the pages are still a little hot from the printer, but it's 103 pages, you know, released shortly after 10 o'clock today. I think there's plenty of work for the legislature and the governor to look at the decision, what laws are on the books now that might need to be normalized, put in sync, what have you. And so there's, I think, a lot of homework to do for sure.
You keep talking about following the law and that this is a decision that's made. What would you want to say to the public that don't agree with it?
Well, you know what? This is what I'd say, is that this is the United States of America. We have a system. We have a checks and balances, separation of powers, judicial branch, executive branch, legislative branch. And, you know, and we went through the system. This was the decision by the court. And our system, sometimes it's, as I mentioned, clunky, tedious, laborious. Sometimes it takes some time. But it's the best thing going. And if someone had a better idea, you know, share it with me. And I think, you know, we all have to have, you can disagree without being disagreeable. And that's an important, I think, element of this whole issue. And there are a lot of contentious issues out there. You know, cultural issues, social issues, economic issues. I always think that it's better to be persuasive, and the strength of your argument is dependent on the your argument is dependent on the strength of your points and how persuasive you are. It's not by the shrillness of your voice or how loud you can shout. It's about discussion. It's discourse, how we can relate to each other. And even when you can live side by side or be in the same neighborhood, or we're all in the same neighborhood, so to speak. We're here in Michigan. We're all in the same neighborhood. We're citizens of the United States of America. It's about I can respect your point of view. I may agree. I may disagree. And you try to set an example with others as well. That's my approach.
Yesterday in the Affordable Care Act ruling, you did sort of criticize the merits of that case, but now you're saying you don't want to actually weigh in on the merits of this case.
So you think I'm more mellow today than yesterday?
Yeah, sure.
You know, that was then, this is today. But I guess here's the point. The point on Obamacare involves two things. There are some constitutional issues on Obamacare. And there were seven instances in that opinion yesterday that where there was absence, there was a conflict between the state exchange and the federal exchange. And those were worthy constitutional issues that needed to be addressed, and the Supreme Court did. The other issue surrounding Obamacare is our policy issues about, do you want a government-run, government-centered healthcare plan, or do you want a patient-centered, private market, private sector-oriented healthcare plan? And that really was that's the distinction.
So you disagreed with the policy on that one. What about the policy in this case?
Well, again, you know, my job was defending the Michigan Constitution in this marriage case, like I did with the pension case and the Natural Resource Trust Fund and the admissions clause. So they're just different.
How could we get you to say something controversial?
Well, I don't know. let's see.
Sitting Cabrera out.
Yeah. I hope Verlander comes back strong. What can I say on that?
Do you personally?
That was funny.
Do you personally still believe marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman?
You know, my job as the Attorney General is to enforce the law and defend the Constitution. That's what I do. I'm not going to get into this. It's not about my job as Attorney General. I'm not running for president. I'm not, you know, like Jeb or Scott or Marco or all these guys, women, you know, Carly, what have you. My job is different from theirs. I'm the Attorney General of the state of Michigan. My job is to enforce the law and defend the Constitution. That's what I'm going to do.
What did you anticipate the ruling would be? Did you think it would come down as it did, or did you think you guys made the better case?
You know, we have a very strong team that, we do 40,000 cases a year here at the Department of Attorney General. It's really pretty amazing when you think about it. And we have some talented women and men who work so hard every day for citizens of the state of Michigan on all sorts of issues. And sometimes you think you're going to win a case, sometimes you don't. And I don't get too much in the speculation of it. I think a lot of folks didn't think that we'd win that admissions clause case, you know, a couple of years ago. And we did. This case, we knew it was, there's some challenging arguments out there. It was emotional arguments out there. And there were good people on each side of this issue with competing differing views and well-intentioned, passionate. And so, if you start speculating what the Supreme Court might or might not do, all it does is get you in trouble. So I try to stay away from that. Try not to be too controversial. Hey, man.
So let's take it back to when you saw what the Supreme Court's decision was. What was your initial emotion or reaction?
My first reaction was I was in downtown Midland, and I had, I had a workout early in the morning, and then I went to the dentist, and I was in downtown Midland, and I got a call from Andrew, who does such a wonderful job, and Aaron Lindstrom, our Solicitor General, and then Rusty, and I said, well, I guess I better go home, put on a suit, and drive to Lansing. So here I am. That was my reaction, because I wanted to make sure there's a chance for me to talk with all of you. So my first reaction is, well, I better get to Lansing. There goes Friday. But that's okay. It's all right.
Chief Justice Roberts, in his dissent, said that this could open the way for people arguing for polygamy. Is that something that would raise some concerns for you?
I'm not sure that Chief Justice Roberts stated in that specific fashion. The majority opinion talked about consenting adults. And then I think Roberts talked about whether I think he was skeptical of the majority opinion that attempted to limit it to consenting adults. But
in effect, so the majority created a right that hadn't existed before. Well, and yeah, what's to stop another right from being?
Well, created? And he did make that comment. But we'll continue to review that opinion. I think, you know, law commentators will look at it as well. I'm not going to, you know, speculate about that right now. But you did read the opinion, I can tell. That was a fair question. Anything else? Except UI. So I'm not being mean to you. I'm just
I
want to
get that one-on-one.
No. Well, I didn't exactly promise that. I said Andrew and I.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, thanks very much, all. All right. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Sorry I wasn't more controversial for you today. Sorry about that.
I had to throw that.
Yeah, no, that was fair. That's right. Thanks very much. See you. Thank you. Yeah, that was a good. That was a fair question. I was doing stuff in my hometown, but we turned around real quick.
Did you think it would come today, or did
you? You know, we thought it might come today, but we anticipated that it might be. We thought it might be Monday. So we kind of had Monday planned out that I was going to come here, we'd do this about noon, and then I've got some responsibilities up in Traverse City on Monday. But that was what we thought probably would happen. But, you know, we were ready for yesterday, and we were kind of ready for today.
Those guys don't really telegraph what they're doing.
Well, I think they also have a flair for the dramatic. I think they're people, too, you know, and all of that. So... anyway, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Rob. Thank you. Thank you.